All right, so we are holding on the Gimel and Aleph to Mishnah. Mishnah says, "Bate Hatselim." Okay, till now we've been talking about fields that a person sells to somebody else, and we've talked about houses in walled cities. Now, what about houses in unwalled cities? Hatselim means unwalled cities. Literally, Hatselim means courtyards, so whatever. It means a city of courtyards, whatever. Right? Those we give them the advantages of bate orechoma and the advantages of fields. Meaning, well, what did we say so far? We said a field you can redeem. There's an earliest time when you can redeem it after 2 years. After 2 years, you can't redeem it within 2 years. On the other hand, the redemption is open-ended. You can redeem it any time before Yovel, and if you didn't, you get it back in Yovel. And on the other hand, the Bate Arichoma, we said it was almost exactly the other way around. If you can redeem it immediately, there's no earliest time you can redeem it. Oh, hello. You should ask when Moshiach
comes. When I ask, he comes.
So you should ask when Moshiach comes. Hello?
That's for the kiddush.
My son had to buy that
one. Okay, so we have started the mission. Okay, so again, what we're saying is like this. Again, we said when it comes to a field, there's an earliest time when you can redeem it. You have to wait 2 years, but then it's open-ended after that until Yovel, and if you don't buy it back by Yovel, you get it back. And then you have the other way around when it comes to houses in a walled city, where we said that it's the other way around. You can buy it back right away, but you only have it closed-ended. You only have a year to buy it back, and if you don't buy it back, then it's lost. And if you don't buy it back, it's lost, and you don't get it back for
Yovel. A
field, you have to wait 2 years, and then it's open-ended after that. And a house, you have to buy it back within the 1 year, and then that's it. So now we're saying, Bote Achaserim, houses in unwalled cities, that's what we're going to talk about now. Houses outside of Bote Arachayma have the best of both. They have the best of the Bote Arachayma and the best of Shabbosodis. When they go in Miyad, they can be redeemed immediately. The Chol Shneim Asa Chodesh, and any time throughout 12 months, Kabatim, like houses in a walled city. The Yosin the Yovel, the Geroin Kesef, on the other hand, they will return to you in Yovel, and if you buy it back before Yovel, then you deduct the money year by year. Kasodis, like the field.
That means you deduct?
Yeah, Geroin means you deduct. Yeah, in other words, what we said is, if you sold the field for $100 10 years before Yovel, and now you're buying it back 5 years before Yovel, then you're paying only 50. That's Geroin Kesef. By the way, this is that the Mishnah is using the expression that you can redeem it for Chol Shneim Asa Chodesh, all 12 months. What does that mean? If we're saying that you can, but does that mean you can't buy it back during the second? Does it mean you can't buy it back during the second year? Does it mean you can buy it back during the first year, then not during the second year, and then thereafter? There are a couple. On the face of it, that's what the Mishnah is saying. When the golden miyad, b'chol shnei mos ha'chodesh, v'yotzim v'yovel, etc. It sounds like, in other words, think of it. When it comes to a field or a house, all the dinim we've been talking about so far, neither one are you able to buy back in the second year, right? Because a house is too late, it's chol already, and a field 2 years hasn't passed yet. So are we saying the same thing as the Mishnah, saying the same thing is true as far as a house outside a walled city? Some of the Mephoshim do say that. Most of them say, though, that's not what the Mishnah means. You could buy it back in the second year. All it means... No, the koyach yopper means you can't give it more koyach than the other one has. So
that's what it means.
Okay, koyach yopper would mean we combine the two dinim together. We say you can buy it back during the first year, like a house in a walled city. You can buy it back open-ended, like a field. But what about during the second year? So most of them are first.
It doesn't mean that they have more koyach than the two.
No, more koyach would mean more koyach. It means koyach yopper and this and that. So some of them, of course, have explained that it means that you can't buy it back during the second year. But most of them say that's not what it means. It means that during the first, in particular, that Abbas talks about this on the Rambam, for example, he says what it means is, if you're going to buy it back during the first year, it's going to be like Bate Orechoma, where we said there's no deduction. Remember, we had the whole discussion about Ribis, about how that intersects with the dinim of Ribis, where the guy is, in effect, living there rent-free for a few months. So in the first year, if you're buying back the field, there's no Geroin. Beginning from the second year, there can be Geroin. That's when we say we treat it like a field in that regard. We start deducting because it's X number of years closer. That's one way of explaining it. I mean, the fact is that Amnon doesn't state whether you can buy it back in the second year or not. In the past, just you could. The past, just it means it's open-ended at the beginning and at the end. So there's no time in the middle that you can't. So what would the Mishnah mean when it uses this expression? The only one possibility is it could mean that there's a difference between the first year and the second year, but not that you can't buy it back in the second year.
The first year would be like
so the first year would be like you're just buying it back for the full value that you're buying. So in effect, you live there rent-free, right?
Okay.
The second year, you'd start deducting already. Okay. Big Moses, turn it up on him. We learn it a bright. So how do we know the dinim? The Pasuk says like this. The Pasuk actually describes the dinim of Bate Arichoyma. The Pasuk continues like this. The whole Pasuk goes, the house is an unwalled city, where it has no wall around it. They will be considered like the field of the land. So therefore, the Pasuk says, "Geula tiyaloi," they can be redeemed, or by yovel yosei, and they go out and yovel. So let's focus on the word "osdei ha'aretz yichoshev." He kishay akosav osdei achosav. Meaning the Pasuk is making a hekish between a field and between a house and an unwalled city to a osdei achosav. Mas dei achosav yotzev yovel of a geroin kesef, just like a osdei achosav. Yeah, osdei ha'aretz means the fields of the land, most fields in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah. So mas de achoza yotzev yovel of a geroin kesef, just like a de achoza returns to you in yovel and you deduct the money if you're buying it between now and yovel. Afwat achaserim yotzev yovel of a geroin kesef. If you're going to say that that's the comparison, mas de achoza ein negelos pachos mishtei shanim, so you're going to say achoza you have to wait at least 2 years before you buy it back. Afwat achaserim ein negelos pachos mishtei shanim. Does that mean vati achaserim have the same rule? No, tamad lema geula tiyaloi. Therefore, the pasuk doesn't just say that's like a field. It says the word geula tiyaloi. It will have redemption, meaning miyad, meaning right away. There's no limit like there are for people.
Didn't we use the geula
tiyaloi? No, we didn't. No, we used the geula in other pasuk in both the different drashas. This is in this pasuk about bate achaser we're talking about. So then let's see. Hoy over nasach lehem koyach yofa shabasadet for koyach sade. I mean yofa shabatim. Now let's consider. Now that you've given it the advantages of fields and the advantages of houses. You would think maybe now, maybe the field doesn't return to you in Yovel, and the Gemara is going to ask in a minute why we would think that, but you would think so, therefore, to tell you not, therefore the Pasuk finishes off that it returns to you in Yovel. Why would you think that? My karma, everyone says, why is the Bort Sebraisa saying? The reason why we need this case, why we need to be told that you would think it wouldn't come back in Yovel, is let's say a person was maktish a house in an unwalled city. Somebody else bought it from Hekdish. And then Yovel comes out in the second year from when the guy bought it from the Gizbar. So Reuven was maktish it. Shimon bought it back, and then the next year Yovel, and then the next year Yovel comes. So let's
say
he didn't. No, the point is no. He bought it. Yeah, he bought it in the 49th year, and then comes the 50th year, and now Shimon has it in his possession. So you would think Lamai Madame Slate, you would think like this. What are you going to compare it to? Ila Bote Orichaima Madame Slate. If you're going to compare it to Bote Orichaima. Well, once a year passed, Ichlit Leilo Keach, then Shimon keeps it permanently, because a year has passed since Reuven sold it to him. Ilus De'achoz Medamas, and if you can compare it to us De'achoz, L'Koyin Mnachta, what happens comes Yovel, and it's not in the possession of the original owner, as we learned before, it goes to the Koyin. So therefore, you would think in this case, why is this field returning to Reuven, well, that's house rather, why is it returning to Reuven? That seems to be not like either one. Either way, Reuven shouldn't be getting it back. Either the Kohenim or the current owner. That is why the Pasuk needs to stress, and that's why the Braisa tells us, that's why the Pasuk needs to stress that, no, it goes out in Yovel back to Reuven.
Otherwise, you would have thought.
Okay, Rav Zeira asks, though, I have a problem with that Braisa. In that case, my Ilya Gaolei Acher, then who cares? Why do we need to mention a case where Shimon bought it back from Hekdish? I feel a Loi Gaolei Nami. Can't you argue the same thing? Would you have the same question if nobody bought it back? If it comes Yovel and it's still in the possession of Hekdish, you should argue that you should argue it should be taken away from Hekdish and given back to the Reuven. You're telling me that if Shimon bought it back from Hekdish and then Yovel comes and goes back to Reuven, implying, and if it was still in the possession of Hekdish come Yovel, then it doesn't. Why not? Why does it stay by Hekdish in that case? Amalei Abaya, or Abohu, it says on the side over here, Shalo Yomru Hekdish Yotze B'loi Pidyon. The reason is because we don't want people to say that Hekdesh can go out, that something can go out of Hekdesh without being redeemed.
Without being what?
In other words, exactly that. He would say that it goes back to him quickly from Hekdesh, that it would amount to that Hekdesh being there. Now, by the way, I mean, usually the expression Shelo Yomru, usually that signals that we're talking about a Din D'Rabban. Before we should say over here, though, we're not talking about that. We're talking actually a Din D'Oraisa. We're explaining the reason for the Din D'Oraisa, because the Gemara is going to go on to give a Kal V'Chomer over here to prove this point. So it's not to say, it's not to say that Takana D'Rabbanan, so that people will, also people don't get careless with Hekdesh. We're talking about this is the actual Din D'Oraisa, and we're giving a reason behind it. I don't remember which one, but yeah.
Meanwhile, when Hekdesh has this, 2 years or 5 years, they're still taking money out of it.
Well, the pashtus, yeah, they're plowing and planting right. And selling the produce, sure. But the point is that eventually the idea is they want something to buy it from them. Hekdesh doesn't need this land. Hekdesh doesn't need this land or this house, or actually the house. You were talking about a house, remember, actually. You're not plowing and planting it. Yeah, maybe they could rent it out. I don't know. I mean, but the point is, yeah.
In this case over here, if there's no pigeon, it still goes back to...
So therefore, eventually it stays by Hekdesh, and eventually the guys buy it back from Hekdesh. Or they sell it to somebody else, whatever. Okay. Menolon, how do we know that that's the din? Yeah, Menolon, how do we know that this is the din that stays by Hekdesh for the time being? We ben Levi. We can learn it by a Kabbalah Chomer from the case of a Levi. Ma ben Levi sheyofa koicha b'mankare, madacha ben Levi, who has a stronger position when it comes to selling, we're going to learn on Omid Beis, that the rules that we've been saying until now, that for example, that after a year he loses his bate arichayma, or that he can't buy back his field within 2 years, those rules we're going to learn on Omer Beis do not apply to Levian. So he has a stronger position when it comes to Nimka. We'll see. Hurak koicha dehekdesh, but he has a weaker position when it comes to Hekdesh, namely that if he's makdish something, he has to redeem it from Hekdesh. We don't say that he gets it for free. That's the point. Yisrael, Shohurah, Kareichah, Bebukhari. That's the point. Yisrael, who has an even weaker position, where Yisrael has various restrictions on a field or a house, buying it back, Ein Adin, Shohurah, Kareichah, Bebukhari. How much more so when it comes to Hekdesh, that he has a weaker position, that we can't say he can just get it from Hekdesh for free. Right. V'hosam menolon. Where are we? V'hosam menolon, yeah. So where indeed do we know by the Levi that when it comes to Hekdesh, he can't get it back with free? The Tanya, like this. We learn in a Braisa. The Pasuk says, the Pasuk describes now as far as the Levim, the Pasuk goes like this. V'asher yimkar min alevim, the Pasuk says, anything that, whatever a Levi sells, v'yotha mimkar bayis, the irach uzasai, whatever the sale of his house or the city of his inheritance should go out by Yovel, because kibote, or the alevim, he uzasai, because the houses of the cities of Levim are their inheritance and inherit Israel, you don't want them to lose it. So the point is, when the Pasuk says v'yotha mimkar, the Pasuk says that the sale goes back, in Yovel, Shemeani Akiva Bodom Metalfal of a Shtar, you would think that applies to anything a Levi sells. If he sells an Ebed, if he sells Metalfal, if he sells a Shtar, he gets it back in Yovel. No, Chamalanga bias the Iraq was also. So therefore, the Pasuk stresses that no, we're talking only about a house or a city of his inheritance, meaning we're only talking about land.
So they lose their Avadim and Metalfal?
What do you mean, lose? If the person sells his Ebed to somebody else, he doesn't get it back in Yovel.
Everyone.
Yeah, that's how it is with everybody. So.
Maybe
not. No, but that's the point. Therefore, the Pasuk says, by Yisfer, I was going to say, this is dispensation, that Levium get it back in Yovel, that Levium don't have special rules as far as 2 years and 1 year and whatever, only applies to real estate. In that case, Ma Talmud Lema Mimkar, so why does it say Mimkar, which misleads us into thinking that it means Metalfalin as well?
Mimkar means a sale.
So it can mean anything he sells. Because what it means is Mimkar of Yotze B'chinam, only what he sells to a Hedyet goes out for free, in Yovel, then in Hekdesh, Yotze B'chinam, Elohim. But when it comes to something that is Makdish, that doesn't go out for free to the Levi, that he has to pay for. And we learned even before, as far as when this day, Achuzah goes to the Kohenim, we had the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that they actually have to pay for it. Okay, we had other opinions, but we had Rabbi Yehuda, and that was the halacha, that they actually have to pay the value of it to Hekdesh, and only then do they get it. So here also, yeah, when Levi when Makdish something, he's not getting that. Okay, so that was Rav Huna's explanation of what we meant. Why does the Pasuk, we brought a Braisa that you would think that the houses in that the house bought their chaserim don't go out in Yovel, and therefore the pasuk says by Yovel Yotzei, and Rav Huna said why do we need that? Because otherwise we would have thought that you would treat it either like a sedeh, either like a base, either like bottei arechoma or sedeh achoza, and in either case if it's in your possession come Yovel, do you get it back? Therefore the Torah tells us that bottei chaserim are different. So upsligya de Rav Oshia, this explanation of Rav Huna's disagrees with Rav Oshia. The Amr of Oshia, Rav Oshia says like Hakol hoyu b'chlal v'nosin akasif v'kablai. You have a general rule that the Torah tells us that if you give money to Hektish something, if you give money to Hektish for something, then you get to keep that thing forever. There's actually no pasuk that says in those words v'nosin akasif v'kablai. The Gemara is paraphrasing. The Gemara does it's all over Shas, this quotation. The Gemara is paraphrasing the pasuk over there in Parashat Vayikra that says v'yosta chamishis kesef kesef erka chavahoyo like whatever. The Gemara is paraphrasing the pasuk. The point is, once you give the money to Hektish, you keep the thing that you bought from Hektish. So that's a general rule. Then the pasuk tells us specifically by Zdeh Chuzza that there's an exception to the rule that it says that it says that if Reuben was makdish a field, Shimon bought it from Hektish, then we say then when it comes to Yovel, it doesn't go back to Reuben, it goes to the Kohenim, or for that matter, if Shimon didn't buy back and buy Hektish, come Yovel. That means, since the pasuk mentions the word Sodeh who the parak lovenach for the Kohenim, only by a field you have this din that it gets redeemed and it goes to the Kohenim, that whether Shimon redeemed it or whether the Kohenim themselves have to redeem it, whatever, then it goes to them. Aval Hanach, but everything else is still under the rule of Anasana Kesef Akamlai. Kida Kaimi Kaimi. As they were before, so they are now. Therefore, Rav Oshia is saying, so again, Rav Huna was saying that if Reuben was Makdish the field, Shimon bought it from Hektish, comes Yovel, Rav Huna learned that it goes back to Reuben, because he says that's what Rav Yovel Yosef means. Rav Oshia disagrees. Rav Oshia says no, it stays by Shimon. It doesn't go back to Reuben. The rule that it goes to somebody else, come Yovel, only applies to Sdei Achuzza, nothing else. Doesn't apply to Bottei Achaserim. Okay, so then according to him, over Yovel Yosef Lomali, so according to Rav Oshia, what are we learning from over Yovel Yosef? Rav Huna is learning from that even in that case, it goes back to him in Yovel. Rav Oshia, who disagrees and says that it stays by the Lekeach from Yovel, from Hektish, what is he learning from those words?
By the Lekeach,
by the person who bought it from Hektish. Yeah, that's what Rav Oshia is saying, right? But nothing I guess it's from life, with the exception of Zeh Hoza. All the rest stay. Yeah. So what is he doing with the words of Yovel Yosef? Amar Papa, similar as before, a little bit similar to before. You have a case where somebody sold a house in an unwalled city, and then Yovel came within the second year. Before, in Rav Huna's scenario, we talked about that he was makdish the house, and then somebody else bought it, and then Yovel comes. Now we're saying, according to Rav Oshia, forget about if he was makdish it. If he was makdish it, it's a whole different dish. We're talking about Reuben just sold it in a private transaction to Shimon, and then before 2 years are up, Yovel came. So again, you would think, well, my Madamaslay, what are you going to compare the situation to? Ilabote Orechoma Madamaslay, if you can compare it to Bote Orechoma Ichlet Leila Lekeach, once 1 year has passed and Shimon's permanently, Ilasdeachosa Madamaslay, and if you can compare it to Deachosa, okay, sure, you're going to get it back eventually, but Hashlamabo, you still have to have the second year, has to be made up after Yovel, as we learned before. That if you sell, if you sell a field to somebody else 1 year before Yovel, he has it for 1 year before Yovel, he keeps it for 1 year after Yovel, and then he has to return it to you. So you would think the same thing over here. Therefore, by Yovel Yosef tells us now, Lahachi Yitzricha by Yovel Yosef,
after the first year,
he gets it back. He doesn't have to wait. He immediately gets it back in Yovel, and that's it. Shimon has nothing further with it.
Paying.
No, he doesn't pay anything. He gets it back before he gets Yovel. Tanya Kava says, so okay, the bottom line is we have a machlokas Reb Huna and Reb Oshia. What happens, again, Reuben was makdish a field, Shimon bought it from Hektish, and now comes Yovel, does Reuben get it back or not? Reb Huna says yes, Reb Oshia says no. So, Tanya Kava says, we have a braisa like what Reb Huna says.
We're trying to prove one of them.
We have a braisa that agrees with Reb Huna, Utyuvta Reb Oshia, and this braisa in turn contradicts Rav Oshia. The Braisa says, Hamakdash Bayis Vater Hasenu, a person is Makdash a house in an unwalled city, Har is a Goyal Miyad, he can redeem it right away, he doesn't have to wait 2 years, but Goyal Ola Olam, and he can redeem it forever, it's open-ended until Yovel, and here's the point, Goyal Acha Miyad Hekdash, if somebody else buys it back from Hekdash, he gives Yovel Vol Enigel, and Yovel comes, and the original owner of Reuven hadn't bought it back yet, Choyzer Labailim by Yovel, it returns to the owner in Yovel, so there you go, clearly like a owner, and not like a Moshi. And the Halacha, in fact, is like a
owner.
Apparently he didn't know the price. Again, no, the Amoraim are not expected to know all the prices. Okay.
Yeah,
like Ravuna, so therefore Reuven gets it back in the Ravuna. Okay. Mishnah says, Elohim Boteach HaSeirim, what is the definition of Boteach HaSeirim? So besides, obviously, if it doesn't have a wall, if the city doesn't have a wall, the point the Mishnah is going to make is even if it has a wall, it also has to have a minimum size. What are you saying? Cities, houses in unwalled cities. Chaserim means unwalled. Just means unwalled cities. You have actually in many places. It does, but it means more generally something. It means generally something open and unwalled. You have, for example. Okay, but that's how it is. But you have, for example, in many places in Chumash Devarim and in Sefer Yoshua, you have a number of times where Ha'orim v'chaserim, for example, it says that the cities and their chaserim, meaning they're unwalled suburbs. So yeah, chaserim means yeah. Okay. So the Elohim Botiah chaserim. Keep in mind, a chaser doesn't necessarily have to have a wall around it. Many of you may want to have a wall around it for privacy, but you don't have to.
You're going to have two houses or three or four houses.
And they all share one common chaser. Okay, but the fact of the matter is, the chaser is shared among all of them, and there's not necessarily a wall separating it from the surrounding chaser. There could be, but there doesn't have to be. Yeah. Okay. So the Elohim Bata Chaserim, Shnei Chaserim Shal Shnei Batim, if you have in the city only two chaserim, and each one has only two houses, even if that city has a wall from the time of Yeshua ben Nun, the houses in that city are still considered Bateh HaSeirim. In other words, the city has to have a minimum size. So we said before, in one of the previous Mishnayos when we were dealing with the Dinim, we said it has to have at least two chaseris, with at least three houses in it. Shlosh chaseres, sorry, the other way around. You have to have at least three chaseres, and each one has to have at least two houses opening into it.
Three courtyards,
each with two houses. A total of six. If you only have four, as our Mishnah is saying, then it's not considered yet.
What do you mean it's six?
Meaning six houses altogether, right? Three chaseres, each one with two houses.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the minimum for it to be considered a city, a walled city. That also in Hilchos Erevin, you have the same similar concept. If you have a city with less than six houses in it, then it's not considered a city.
That comes out you have more chaserim than you have
the house. Well, fine. You have three chaserim. No. Two houses altogether. Three chaserim, each one that has two houses opening into it.
A pair of houses.
Yeah.
You have more chaserim. More shared conflict.
Well, yeah. Okay.
Okay,
fine. Each one with a pair of houses, right? So altogether, they have six houses that share between them three chaserim. Right? Okay, turn it up on them. We learn in the Braita. Mimashma shenema botei chaserim. Given that the pasuk says the expression botei chaserim, any yodei she'en lahem choma. Obviously, by definition, chaserim have no wall. Ma tamavay ma she'en lahem choma. So why does the pasuk continue and add the detail that it has no wall? It means. Because you can have a city which, even though it has a wall, we consider it kamisha ein lahem choyma. We consider it as if it didn't have a wall. The kama, so how small does the city have to be for it to fit that criteria? When the pasuk is the houses, that's a loshen rabba means shnayim, the minimum of two, as usual. Loshen rabba means miyut rabba shnayim, chaseres shnayim, and the word chaseres is also plural. It means two. Therefore, shnei chaseres shol shnei batim. If you have two chaseres, each one with two houses, it's still considered boteh chaserim. So that's what the pasuk is saying. That's why we need two and three, right? So the question is, the aim of bias for chaser, maybe not. Maybe what it means is that each chaser has to have one house in it. Maybe what it is that maybe, fine, Boteh HaSeirim, you have to have two chaseres and two houses, but where are you getting that each chaser has to have two houses opening into it, and then it's still not enough? Maybe what it means is it's not enough if you have a chaser with one house opening into it, but if you have a chaser with two houses opening into it, then that's enough.
Instead of
If, like this was saying, you need three chaseros, each one with two houses. That's the minimum for it to be a city. Our Mishnah and our Braisa are telling us that if you only have two and two, that if you only have two chaseros, each one with two houses, then it's not good enough yet. The question is, fine, bate means plural, chasere means plural, but maybe what it means is you have to have two chaseros, each chaser has to have one house opening into it, so you have two chaseros, two houses, and that's not enough. But if but if you have two houses for one chaser, then if you have, in other words, if you have two chaseros, and one of them has two houses and one of them has one house, then you're good. How do you know they're not? The answer is, in Ken, lichtav rachmana chaserim. Yeah, but in that case, the pasuk could have just written the word chaserim, because obviously a chaser, by definition, has to have a house opening into it. So the fact that it says botei chaserim means it's not just enough to have one house opening into it. Sure, it meets the definition of chaser, but it doesn't yet meet the definition of botei. You need two houses opening into that chaser. V'chi teva ikaser rachmana chaserim chaser b'lay bayis mashma. You're going to argue maybe not. If it said chaserim, you wouldn't know that there have to be houses there at all. No. If you have a chaser without a house opening into it, it's not called a chaser, it's called a karpik. In Hilchos Erevin, we have that concept, for example, in Hilchos Shabbos, that if you have an enclosed area, which was not hukaf lagira, it wasn't enclosed for purposes of people using it for living purposes, then it's not considered a chaser, it's considered a karpik, and you have rules, if it's larger than a certain area, then you can't carry it on Shabbos. So therefore, the word chaser itself implies an area that a house opens into. So therefore, chaserim itself means that, and therefore, bate means that each one has to have two houses opening into it.
So you have to have at least.
So you have to have. So if you only have two chaserim and two houses, then it's still bate ha-chaserim asher ein lahem chayim asav. And therefore, so we say even if such a city has a wall, we don't consider as if it had a wall. But if once you have three chaserim and each one has two houses, then you have yourself a city.
If you have two
chaseres,
then I have two
chaseres. That's no good yet. That's what we're saying. Mishnah says, Yisro sheyorash avi'i meleib. If a Yisro inherits property, for example, in a walled city, from his grandfather, from his mother's father, who was a Levi, eine goyo kaseder hazeh. He does not redeem according to the Seder. On the face of it, what that means is, and we're going to explain in the Gemara what it actually means, but on the face of it, and this is how Rashi explains over here, it means that, for example, again, we said a regular Yisrael sells a house in a walled city. He only has 1 year, and if not, then it's a goner. Now we're saying if he inherited that house from a Levi, from his grandfather, a Levi, in a walled city, and now he sold it, we're saying he doesn't have that limitation of 1 year. The chain, that's what we're going to have to figure out. The chain Levi sheyorash avi'im Yisrael, so also if it's the other way around, the seller was a Levi, but he inherited it from his grandfather Yisrael, also ain't a goyo kaseder azeh, also he doesn't have to redeem according to this order, he has it open-ended for him. Shenema, ki bote ori alavim hi achuzotam, because the pasuk says the houses of the cities of Levi'im are their inheritance, which means, ad sheyehe Levi v'ori alavim. So you have the special rules apply only if he is a Levi and only if he's selling property in a city of the Levi'im. Now, that seems to contradict what we just said before. We just said that if Yisrael inherits from his... So the Gemara is going to explain what the Mishnah means. The Gemara is going to explain what. Divrei Rebbe. This is what Rebbe says. The Chachamim say, never mind about whether he's a Levi or not. Ein dvarim halol amurim ela ba'ari halavim. These rules that it's open-ended, etc., only apply in Ari halavim. We don't care whether the guy himself is a Levi or not. He could be a Yisrael who inherited from his grandfather a Levi. Doesn't matter. But on the other hand, if a Levi inherits from his grandfather Yisrael in a different city, he has the same rules as any other Yisrael. 1 year, and then that's it.
So it doesn't make a difference if it's Levi, not if it's in the
Ari Levi. If it's in Ari Levi, so say the Chacham. Whereas Rebbe says on the face of it, so that now we have to figure out what Rebbe means, because Rebbe seems to have contradicted himself. First he says it's either a Levi or an Ari Levi, and then he's saying it has to be both. That's the Gemara that takes that up. So the question is, Ela Kaman. So who are you saying? When you're saying that Yisrael is not Goyo Kaseder Azeh, so what you mean, who is he Goyo like? Ben Levi? You mean he has the rules like a Levi? Then Rebbe continues, he has to be both, a Levi and if in the cities of the Levi. Alma Eina Goyo Ela Kaseder Azeh Adshe He Levi V'Ori Alevim. Sorry, so yeah, Ema, right. So the Gemara answers, Ema, you're right. What the Mishnah means to say is, Eina Goyo Ela Kaseder Azeh. You have to add the word in Ela. A Yisrael is redeeming his property only like the Seder that we've been discussing in this perek about the 2 years for a field and the 1 year for a house, etc. Hadji, a Levi, but Ori Alevim, unless you have both. He's a Levi and it's property in the city of the Levim, give a Rebbe, then only then do we give him the dispensation of a Levi. Because according to Levi, you need both. It needs to be a Levi and it needs to be in the city of Levim. According to the Chachamim, it's only it needs to be in the city of Levim. We don't care if he himself is a Levi or Yisrael.
So he's
more strengthened. Okay. So Bishleim, so Bishleim Ori Alevim. Okay, I can understand why there's rules, special rules for Ori Alevim. Because the pasuk says the houses and the cities of Levim, they were their inheritance, and therefore we don't want it taken away from them. El Levi Minola, but where does Rebbe get that it has to be specifically a Levi? So like this, Dichtiv, Va'asher Yigal Min Alevim, because the pasuk says if someone redeems from the Levim. Now, what does that mean? Does Min Alevim mean that the one who's redeeming is himself a Levi? Or does it mean that he's buying from somebody else who's a Levi? So Tanya, we learn in a bright. So when it says, Va'asher Yigal Min Alevim, when it says, if he redeems from the Levim, Yocho, you would think that it means like this. Levi Yisroel Yigal, it means like this. If a Levi is buying back property from a Yisroel that he sold it to, Yigal, then we're going to allow him to redeem it open-ended. Shazay Yop HaKosev Zehu HaKosev, because after all, we're saying that we want to give the Levian special power and the Yisroel not, so therefore we would argue that we give the Levi the ability to buy it back from the Yisroel. So we would argue that Min HaLevian means if a Levi, one second, without, no, that's what I'm talking. If we didn't have the words Vashay Yigam and Alevim, because the pasuk starts like this, V'ori Alevim, Bote Aurea Chazotem, the pasuk says, G'olas Olam Tiyel Alevim, the Levim can redeem forever. Then the next pasuk continues, Vashay Yigam and Alevim. So we're focusing on why we need that second pasuk. If we didn't have it, we would think, when do we say, G'olas Olam Tiyel Alevim, if a Levi is buying from a Yisrael, then he has G'olas Olam. He can redeem it at any time, because he has special powers over Yisrael. Ava Levi mi Levi loy, but you would think if one Levi is buying from another Levi, then not. Shezei yof v'koyche bezei yof v'koyche, because after all, both of them have the equally strong power at the same level, so maybe then it's the same as Yisrael to Yisrael. Nope, Tamad Leima min ha-Levim. Therefore, the pasuk says from the Levim, meaning that he's buying it from the Levi. So not only if it's a Levi buying back from Yisrael, but even if it's a Levi buying from another Levi. That he has open-ended, right. So then, min alevim, when it says from the levim, that's a mute. Min alevim, but I call alevim, it means, but not all levim. So what does that mean? It means, prach ben levi, mamzer ben nosin, as opposed to a ben levi who is a mamzer or a nosin. He would not get this dispensation to buy it back, open-ended. Okay. So that's where Rebbe gets that he has to be a levi, because you have these two psukim over here, gula, salam, tiyal, alevim, vashir, you got min alevim. What do the Chachamim say in the Mishnah? All these rules only apply to Ori Alevim. And they say it doesn't matter if he himself is a Levi or not. So as long as we're talking about something in the Ori Alevim. But that's just the Chachamim don't make that distinction. So it doesn't matter. That when we say Geulas Olam, we don't care if he's a Levi. We don't care if he's a Yisrael. So I guess we don't care if he's a man there.
As long as this is from dealing with Levi, someone who's Levi involved, or just...
No. As long as we're dealing with something in Ori Alevim. If a Levi sold to a Yisrael outside of Ori Alevim, and then he wants to buy it back, then the Chachamim are saying he doesn't get any special dispensations, because it's not in Ori Alevim.
So in other words, it's not only a din for Yisrael, it's not protecting him to Levi, so... Make it good for Israel.
It's protecting the cities of the Levi, and that's the point.
Right,
it's protecting the cities of the Levi.
To take advantage of it as well.
Okay, that's how it is. Because he inherited it, yeah.
We want them to keep...
We want these cities to be kept in the family, yeah. Okay. Mishnah says, Ein Oysen... Yeah, it's the cities of Levi, for this purpose, includes Shoenim, yeah. The 48 cities that they were assigned in Eretz Yisrael, 12 or 13 of them went to the Shoenim, and the rest went to the Levi. Mishnah says.
So they own land outside?
They could, we've talked about it before.
How far away from
I don't know how far, whatever, but we've talked about it before. For example, give us Pinchas Bedai, the last part of Yeshua. We talked about last week that Pinchas either inherited it, the Gemara says he inherited it from his wife. He's a Kohen, The point is that he has land over there. Either the Gemara says he inherited it from his wife, some of the Mephoshim, some of the Rishonim say that maybe he got it as a Sdei Cherim or Sdei Achuz or whatever. Yes, yeah. Mishnah says, Ein os in Sodom Midrash. Now, like this, the Torah describes when it comes to the cities of Levim, you have like this. There's the city itself. Surrounding the city, you have a Midrash, which is an open area. The pastures, like what they have nowadays, they call a green belt around the city. And then you have an area for fields and vineyards. You have one pasuk in Parashas Maaseh that mentions, you have a pasuk in Parashas Maaseh that mentions 1,000 amos. The next pasuk mentions 2,000 amos. The Gemara explains what it means is you have the gear that most of the Rishonim have in the Gemara over there. Is it means you have the first 1,000 amos close to the city, or the Migrash, the green belt. And outside of that, you have another 1,000 amos for Sodas of Kronin. The Rambam learns that it's actually 1,000 and then 2,000. 1,000 for Migrash and then 2,000 for Sodas of Kronin. Whatever, you have that, those belts around the city. So the Mishnah says, Einos and Sodom Migrash, you can't turn fields, the field areas around the city, into Migrash, below Migrash Sodom. Not suburbs. Migrash is the open area. Below Migrash Sodom, and you can't turn the Migrash into fields. Below Migrash Ir, below Ir Migrash. You also can't turn the Migrash into part of the city. In other words, if the city needs to expand, you can't expand into the Migrash. Below Ir Migrash, and you can't, if the city is shrinking, make the Migrash in the area where the city was. No, that's the point. In other words, we're saying that you can't take area that was Migrash and turn it into part of the city. So how is the city going to grow? So actually, the Chamshon of Paul Hirsch makes an interesting point about that, related to what I was telling you the other day about what he says, the ideal way of Jews living should be in shtetlach with farms, as he says, new, and if the city is growing bigger and you don't have room, then you found a new city, and you found a new city in open area someplace else. You found a new city, and that way you don't have that cities are growing and growing and growing and becoming these big metropolises. Yeah. Okay. Rabbi Elazar says, that's true, but only as far as the cities of Levim. When it comes to cities of Yisrael, you can be a little more flexible. Ois in Sodom Migrash, you can make the fields into Migrash. You could, in other words, expand the Migrash outward into where the fields are supposed to be. Now, you have over here, it's interesting, you have Veloy Migrash Sodom. And why is Veloy in parenthesis? Because you have two different Girsois that Mephoshim say. There's a Gemara in Baba Basra that seems to imply that the correct gear says without the Veloy. That Rabbi Elazar would say you could turn Migrash into field. On the other hand, you have some of the Achronim, I think the Son Kodshim and others, justify the gear that we have in front of us that Rabbi Elazar would say Veloy Migrash Sada, that he can't turn Migrash into field. Okay. That's a big difference, right? Migrash here, he continues, you're allowed to turn Migrash into city, so you're allowed to expand the city into where the Migrash was before. Veloy ir Migrash, but you're not allowed to do the other way around, to turn part of the city into the Migrash, into the open area, shalayach ribuas ori Yisrael, so you don't destroy Jewish cities. So you don't want the city to be torn down and then made into open areas, made into green belt, so therefore, yeah. Okay. Mishnah finishes off, HaKonim v'alaviyim mochrin la'olam v'goyim la'olam. Kohanim and Levim can always sell their property, and they can always buy it back. Shenema, because the passage says, Geulas Olam Tiyala Levim, the Levim can redeem forever. What do you mean, Mochrin La'olam, by the way? Rashi brings an explanation from his Rebbeim that it means that they can sell even during the Yovel. However, Rashi asks, we already had the Machloket to Rav and Shmuel about that, about whether you can sell during Yovel and whether you can be Makdish during Yovel. And we had Shmuel brought a Kal V'chomer there to say that they can't. What would Shmuel do with this? So Rashi says, okay, it doesn't mean they can actually sell during Yovel. It means Lo'olam, because we use the expression Mochin Lo'olam, Lo'olam before, we use the word Machdishin Lo'olam, Lo'olam before, so we use a parallel expression over here. It doesn't mean they can actually sell during Yovel, says Rashi. Okay. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, okay, so like this, we said in the Mishnah, we said that according to the Chachamim, these rules about you have city and Migrash and fields, according to the Chachamim, those rules apply across the board to all the cities of Israel, and according to Rabbi Elazar, they only apply to the Ari Elohim. So Omer Rabbi Elazar, so we said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar says, when is this talking about? The Ari Elohim, Ava Ba'ari Yisrael Oysin Holder, but he says when it comes to the cities of the other Shvatim, you could turn the field into the Migrash, etc. So the Kolei Amamiya of the Levim Lemeshenim. The bottom line is everybody agrees you can't change anything with the cities of Levim. Menahani Mili. Where do we know that from? Amar Rabbi Elazar to Amar Kra, because the pasuk says, "Usidei Migrash Orehem Lo Yimacher." The pasuk says the fields of the open area of their cities shall not be sold. So Amai lo yimacher, what do you mean they can't be sold? Ilema lo yimacher klal, do you mean that a Levi is not allowed to sell his fields that are outside the Arim Mitzvah, that are outside the 48 cities? Why not? If the prophet is saying they can buy back forever, if they can buy it back, obviously it means they can sell it. So what does the word lo yimacher mean? It doesn't mean it can't be sold. It means it can't be changed into something else. Though sometimes you have in Tanakh, you have the Mephoshim point out, you have a few places in Tanakh where the Shodesh Mochar means to change. You have, for example, it says by Achav, it says, Yan his makircha lafet arad. Like you've, so to speak, sold yourself to do evil, to do avarice. In other words, you've changed. You're supposed to be a Yid. You're supposed to be keeping mitzvahs, and you've sold yourself, and you've made yourself into something else. Yeah, so we see the word mechar can mean change. Then we said, Koyanim and Leviim can always sell and they can always buy back. So, turn it up on them, we learn in a braisa. When it says, Ge'ulas Olam Tiyal Leviim, when it says Leviim can always buy back, Ma Tamad Bema, what is we learn from that pasuk? So, like this, Yafisha Nema B'mitzvah Shnei Tvoris Yim Kolach, given that the pasuk says, when a regular person sells his field, that he has to wait at least 2 years to buy back, Yacho Afzakeh, you would think the same thing is true of a Levi. No, therefore, the pasuk says they can always buy it back. They don't have to wait the 2 years. Also, since the pasuk says that in general, if you have this day achoza, you didn't buy it back from Hekdesh before Yovel, then it goes to the Kohenim. Yochel after Kain, you would think the same thing is true if a Levi was Makdish the field. No, also, Ge'ulas Olam tells us that not, he can always buy it back. And another one, since the pasuk says that if a person sells a house in a walled city and he doesn't buy it back within a year, then it permanently belongs to the other guy. Yochel after Kain, again, that's missing permanently. Yochel after Kain, you would think the same thing is true for Levi. Again, Chamabayma, Ge'ula Salem, Tiyalavi. So the Gemara says,
that's only in the Eralavim.
According to the Chachamim, it's only in the Eralavim. According to Rebbe, it would have to be, according to Rebbe, it could be also if he's a Levi. Okay. Or actually, it would have to be if he's a Levi, and according to Rebbe, it would have to be both, that he's a Levi and in the city. Right. So the question is like this. Bishleima Hani Tauti, I can understand when it comes to Sdei Achoza, and when it comes to Sdei Achoza, and when it comes to field, when it comes to Sdei Achoza about the 2 years and about Yovel, okay, Lachaye, good, I can understand. A Levi has field, he could sell them, he could be makdish them, and therefore the Torah is telling us that the rules for him are different than for Israel. Since when do Levim own houses in walled cities? V'hatanya, we learn in a braisa about the city. What the question is, how does a Levi come to own a house in a walled city? V'hatanya, we learn in a braisa. Orim halolu ein oisim loik forim kanim. These cities that are assigned to Levim cannot be small villages, but like Krakim Golem, they can't be big cities with walls. Ela ayoris beninir, they have to be medium-sized cities. The point is, the Gemara explains over there in Machis, the point of the cities, the size that the Levim live in them, remember, they have to also be a refuge for the Retzeach, the Shgag. So you don't want them to be small, little villages, because among other things, it's hard to make a living in a small village. It's hard to find what you need over there. On the other hand, you don't want them to be really big cities with walls, because many people gather there from all over the place to do business. So the Goyal Adam can easily come there without anybody noticing him, and then kill the Retzeach. So therefore, we want them to be medium-sized cities, the kind of cities where you can easily make a living over there. But on the other hand, where it's small enough that everybody knows who everybody is, and then the Goyal Adam is not going to be able to right, exactly. Actually, by the way, the Chevener has a very interesting explanation. The Chevener, the Jovi Mishalim, has a very interesting explanation also. He was a Rosh Hashiva in Israel. He was Mitzvah in the 50s. But he was a prominent Rosh Hashiva over there. You've heard maybe of Baruch Shimon Schneerson. He's a son-in-law. Anyway, so the Chevener writes in one of his Shailos HaShuvos, he says an interesting point. There's other reasons also why the Arei Mikla shouldn't have walls. Also because we learn in Makkos that if what happens if the Retzeach dies before the Kohen Gadol, we know when the Kohen Gadol dies, the Retzeach goes free. But what happens if he dies in the Arei Mikla before the Kohen Gadol? They bury him in the Arei Mikla. Now, the din is you can't bury a person in a walled city in Eretz Yisrael. And also, what happens if the Retzeach were to become a Metzora? He would have to leave the city because he can't, but if it's a walled city.
Buried, within a walled
city. Usually you can't bury within a walled city. So like this, and also if he becomes a Masoda, what's going to happen? He can't stay in the city because he can't stay in a walled city as a Masoda. He can't go out. He's not supposed to go out. So therefore, that's one of those are other reasons why it shouldn't be a walled city. Yeah. Okay. Right, shouldn't be right. Anyway, the point is, so how is a levy come to own property in a walled city? The answer is, Omer Kahana like Kasha, Kan Shahuka, or the Seif Yashav, one we're talking about is where the house, where the city was first surrounded by a wall, and then houses were built in it. Kan Shahyashav, or the Seif Huka, as opposed to if the city first existed, and later on they built a wall about it, so around it. So in other words, you could have a city that the Levian originally got, one of the original 48 cities, it didn't have a wall, and later on they decided to build a wall around it. So that could be a case where a levy has a house in a walled city.
It can still stay a...
So the question is, in that case, is that considered a wall for the purposes of Bote Ari Choyma? Well, Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, when the Pasuk says, V'ish ki yimko beis Moshe of Ir Choyma, when the Pasuk says that a person sells a house, a residential house, in a city with a wall, that means Shehukah or Soif Yashav, that only applies only if the city was first surrounded by a wall and later on settled, Beloisha Yashav or Soif Hukah. Not the other way around, where the wall was built after the city was settled. Yachol Afilu Hikifur Yitzrael, he would think the same thing would be even if the Jewish people built a new city and built a wall and then built houses in it. No, Nema Kan Choyma V'Nema Lahalan Choyma. We have a Gzeira Shava from the word Choyma over here, and you have the word Choyma that's mentioned in Parashas Dvarim, where Moshe is describing the cities that they conquered from Sichon and Og, and where he describes that the cities have walls. Malahalan Ovikachavim, just like over there, the walls were built by Goyim, because that's the point. In other words, the Jewish people conquered the lands of Sichon and Og and found over there cities that were already surrounded with the walls. So who had built the walls? It was the local Goyim. Afkan over the Chavim, the same thing. When is it considered a walled city? That's where we get that. It has to be a walled city from the time of Yeshua ben Nun, because it has to be that the Goyim who lived in Eretz Yisrael before Yeshua ben Nun built the walls. So in other words, we have two criteria. Yeah. So Yochal Afilu Yisrael over the Chavim La'acham Mikan continues the Braisa. What about a third possibility? What if Goyim built a walled city after the Jewish people conquered Eretz Yisrael? Because we know from the Pesukim that first of all it took them 7 years to conquer Eretz Yisrael. Mistama, the Goyim were fortifying the city during that time. But besides that, also after that, we find in Yeshua and in Shoftim that there were many enclaves in Eretz Yisrael that they hadn't conquered yet, that the Goyim still lived there until eventually David and Shlomo kicked them out. Anyway, the point is that, what happens if Goyim built a walled city in Eretz Yisrael after the fact? No, again, Nema Lahalan Choyma V'Nema Kan Choyma. Again, we have the same Zeta Shava from the word Choyma. Ma Lahalan Ovid Kechavim Koydim Lachain. Over there, those walls were built before the Jewish people ever came to the area. They come to the area. They come to the lands of Sichon and Og, and they find a city that was built there with a wall, 50 or 100 or whatever it is years earlier. Afkan Ovid Kechavim Koydim Lachain. In other words, the Braisa is saying for it to be considered a walled city, it has to have three criteria. And it has to be that the walls were built by the Goyim before the Jewish people came into Eretz Yisrael. And it has to be that the wall was built and then the city was populated inside the walls.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right. So therefore, in our case over here, if we're talking about that the Levium got a city in Eretz Yisrael, and later on they put up a wall around it, it wouldn't be considered Bate Arechem. It still has to be in Bate Achaterim. So we're back to the question, how did a lady come to have a house in a walled city? The answer is Tirgum of Yosef, Brezer of Salah, Chassidah, Kamezer of Papa, Kigon Shenoflu Lahen Hein U'Migrashehen. Suppose that a city was assigned to the Levian together with its Migrash, and it already had a wall at that time. So in other words, yes, the Levian cities are not supposed to have walls, but let's say, so what happened? Each of the Shvatim was supposed to give a certain number of cities. Generally, most of the Shvatim gave four cities each to the Levian. What did they do? They made a girdle to figure out which cities they're going to give to Levium, and then which family of Levium is going to get which city, whatever. So they could have made a girdle, and one of the cities that comes out in the girdle has a wall around it. So there you go. That's considered a walled city.
Hashem did not give. I mean, when Yeshua did not give us the cities.
Yeah. Hashem told them, you have a mitzvah to give six major Ore Miklos and 42 other cities for Levium. But yeah, it had to be. It was up to each shaver to determine which cities do they want to give for that purpose and how many they're going to give. Most of the Shvatim gave four. Naphtali, I think, gave three. Yehuda and Shimon together gave nine, whatever. But basically, it was more or less it was four. It was supposed to be according to the population of the shaver. So a larger shaver should give more cities. Yeah.
On average, four.
On average, and most of the Shvatim gave four each. Yeah.
So it's 48.
So it's 48.
You're giving it to Ray, but giving that not the best ones also.
No, I don't know. I'm sure that Yeshua company made sure that they're not going to be giving them terrible ones. No. And you have, by the way, also, in Marcus, the Gemara mentions a number of criteria that the city has to have in order to be an Ir Miklat. It has to have a good water supply nearby. It has to have marketplaces. It has to have whatever. It's not so simple. They couldn't just pick any city they wanted. The Ari Alavim in general function as Ari Miklat. You have the six big ones, the six major ones to be on each side of the Yarden, but all the other 42 cities in Levi, and the Gemara explains in Marcus, also served as Ore Mikvah.
Why?
Because that's how it is. There's some differences between them in Halacha. For example, you have a din that, what if the Ratzeach runs into the city, and he doesn't know he's in the Ore, he doesn't know what city he's in. If he's in one of the six major ones, doesn't matter, he's safe. If he's in one of the 42 smaller ones, then no, he has to know that he's in the Ore Mikvah, otherwise he's not safe. You have a couple of dinim that are different, but for the most part,
So they would have had tons of a lot of
42.
Yeah, so they had all together 48. So you're saying they would have had a lot of rough skin? No, you didn't. Relatively speaking, what makes you think we would have had that many rough skin?
That's only killed by mistake.
It's only if somebody killed by mistake. Okay. Yeah, it doesn't necessarily happen that often. Okay. Anyway, so the point is that Rabbi Yosef Breder of Salah Chaseda is saying. That.
So they couldn't own that, and they couldn't own anything in the town. They were not living themselves.
Okay, so fine. They rent a house and they live there. I don't know, and they continue doing business.
But they can buy a house.
Yeah, why not? If they have money, they can buy a house
in
Samoa.
In a near
I guess. I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know.
But the Levine did not own.
So the Levine didn't own regular plots of land in Eretz Yisrael. They had the 48 cities. Each city has a migrash around it, and around that it has a ring of fields and vineyards and whatever. And that's it. That was what the Levim were originally assigned in Eretz Yisrael. Again, later on, the Kohanim could be getting the Acherim and whatever, and they could be inheriting from their.
Levim did I have their own field or?
No. So they had. No. They each one his own field. Yeah. All it is, in other words, like each other shevet received a contiguous portion of Eretz Yisrael. Yehuda has this zone of Eretz Yisrael is theirs. Reuben has this zone is theirs. The Levim don't have one particular zone in Eretz Yisrael. Achalkim v'Yakev asifdim v'Yisrael. They have individual towns scattered, dispersed among the Jewish people. Right.
Scattered houses and fields.
Right. Yeah.
But not so. Not areas.
Right. That's in Yaakov's last words, the Shimon and Levi. How can the Yaakov last in Israel? I'll divide them among Yaakov and I'll disperse them among. So the reason is, what does Yaakov say over there? It's Shimon and Levi, what they did with Shem and what they did with Yosef and whatever. They're very hot tempered. They're very hot tempered, and therefore we need to control things. Factually, what happened is, so Shimon, the Medrash says, many of them became teachers, became malamdim of children and ever, so they're scattered all over Eretz Yisrael, wherever they can find a job as a malamdim. And Levi is scattered all over Eretz Yisrael in the 48 cities in Levium, where like this they have, besides that they're refuges for the Roskim, it's also this way, they can be teaching Torah to the people over there, because that's the job of Levi, Yodam Ashkatach Yaakov, is to teach the Jewish people Torah. So like this, every Shevet has four cities of Levium among it, and that would be the places where you have the local big yeshivas, where you go to learn Torah.
They have a mission to run Torah.
To teach Torah. Yoru Mishpatech al-Yakov, and Parshat Ben, Parshat Ben, Parshat Ben. Yoru Mishpatech al-Yakov, they will teach your laws to Yakov. Meseros Chali Yisrael and your Torah to Yisrael.
What about Yisachar then?
Yisachar with a great Tamar Chachamim. Fine, everybody's supposed to learn Torah, everybody's supposed to teach Torah. But the Levim, especially the idea was, a regular Jew is going to work most of the time as a farmer. A Levi and a Kohen, the idea is they have their farms, fine, but that's not their primary thing they're going to be working on. Their primary thing they're going to be working on is teaching Torah to the people and working in the business session. And then, because any other person needs a parnasa, then they'll have their field and vineyard. But it's not going to be like the average yid, where his general work all the time is going to be in his field.
Wasn't it said on the Kohanim, they were ones that are very top general.
Yeah, Kohenim in particular, but you see in general. Yeah, but what you see in general, look what happened. Look at Levi, Shimon and Levi going wipe out Shem, right? And then they're the ringleaders in selling Yosef. So, yeah.
So
in other words, so Yaakov realized, and so Yaakov realized with the Kodesh then, we need to, if we have them together in one place, it could be very dangerous, it could be very explosive. If you scatter them and disperse them among the Jewish people, then yeah.
But on the other hand, that transfer is good because they didn't do...
And that's true, and that's, as a matter of fact, you notice the difference. How came the Yaakov that fits in Israel? Actually, the Shamshon of Paul Hirsch has an interesting point about the difference between those two expressions. Achalkin, to be mechalik, something means you divide it so that each one gets a portion of it. Afise means like to disperse something, like just scattering here and there without a purpose. So he says like this. Achalkin be Yaakov. Yaakov, we know, represents the Jewish people in Golos. In Golos, we need that strength of Shimon and Levi. Each of us needs the chelek of that strength of Shimon and Levi. Therefore, achalkein b'yakev. When the Jewish people are in the state of Yaakov, then each of us needs the chelek of it. On the other hand, when we're Yisrael, when we're living in our own land and under a government that follows the Torah or whatever, there, a chelek of Shimon and Levi's spirit is kind of dangerous. Therefore, afitin, better let it be scattered, like it's not going to be used on a day-to-day basis, because you don't need it so much at that time. So in Golos, you need it, and you don't necessarily. So therefore, so you have the Levim and the Shimon and Levi themselves have it, but they're in their cities, and they go and teach Torah to the kids and to the adults and whatever, but they don't infuse that spirit into the rest of the Jewish people necessarily, that spirit of anger and whatever that brought them to destroy Shem. Yeah, rebellion. Okay. All right, let's go on over here. Okay, so we're saying, suppose that one of the cities assigned to the Levim had a wall, so therefore it's a Bate Arichayma.
And well, from before.
From before, yeah. So the question is, what do you mean? So what if they got a city that had a wall around it? We just said that the cities of Levim are not supposed to have walls, therefore the wall has to be torn down. So once the wall is torn down, it's not Bate Arichayma. Actually, Tosfos points out, didn't we learn before? We said Rabbi Elazar, but Rabbi Yossi says that as long as it had a wall, Mimosi Yeshua Nun is considered a walled city, even if the wall was torn down afterwards, right? So the answer is Tosfos gives a couple of answers. First of all, maybe this is not like him. And second of all, maybe Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yossi would distinguish between where the wall no longer exists for some other reason, because enemies conquered it or whatever, versus over here, where Api HaLacha, you have to take down the wall, then maybe it's not considered a wall.
Here,
Api HaLacha, you have to take it down because it's the city of the Levian, and the city of the Levian can't have a wall.
So it could be, if property-wise, yes, it's considered a wall, but HaLacha-wise,
it's not considered a wall, exactly.
It has to take it down.
Right.
It's much easier to be attacked without a wall.
Okay, so if they want to put up something defensive later on, fine. Instead, it won't make a Bate Arichayma. But, Okay.
Have to take it down for that.
Right, maybe. Okay, Omer Avashi. But anyway, I mean, look, the idea was supposed to be that they enter Eretz Yisrael and they conquer it and defeat all the Goyim, and they don't need defensive walls, right? I mean, if they'd done the right thing, that's how it would have remained, yeah. Okay, anyway, Omer Avashi, it's Tirich. So Avashi says, okay, but you still need it. You still have a case where a Levi could own property in a walled city, because you would think, Akadayda Chamini, you would think like this, Adam is statri, mistatri. Okay, yes, you have to tear down the wall, but as long as you didn't tear it down, let's say a Levi sold a house in such a city, Imiz Dabni, if he sold a house in such a city before they had a chance to tear down the wall, Lechlatu, then it should be lost after a year. Kamash Malon, that is why the Pasuk says, Ulas Olam, Kiel Alavim. Yeah, as far as Bate Arichayma as well, that they're still entitled to it back after a year. So they got a house. So Levim were assigned a city that had a wall around it. So they know, okay, we know Al Pi Halacha, we have to tear down the wall, but tearing down a wall takes time. Meanwhile, a Levi sold a house in the city to somebody else. While it was still walled, a year passes. He hasn't bought it back yet. Meanwhile, eventually they get to tearing down the wall. You would think, well, a year passed, he hasn't bought back the house, he lost it. Nope, he's a Levi, it's in the cities of Levim, therefore he hasn't lost it. He can buy it back. Okay. We learned it a Brisa. The Pasuk says, now we're going to return to the case of Cherem that we talked about in the previous parak. The Pasuk says, Kisdeya Cherem lakoyen tiach uzasai, that it will be, meaning the case where a field of Hekdesh goes out from Hekdesh and Yovel and goes to the Kohenim, and the Pasuk says it will be to the Kohen like a Sdei Acherim, or be his inheritance. Ma Tamad Loma, what are we learning from those Sukkim? So we learned this before. Minayim L'Kohen Shehekdesh Sdei Acherim, right? How do we know if a Kohen is Makdesh, a field that he himself received as Acherim from Israel? Shalom Yomar, he can't say, Ho'ovah Yotzeh L'Kohenim, since after all that field is eventually going to go out to the Kohenim when it comes Yovel, well, right now it's in my hands because it's their Kohenim. Kehashali, you would think, he would think that it could be my, it could remain my own. The dinhu, and he would think to make a kavachom, but shalachayim and izoicha, if come yovel, I'm able to be zoicha even in somebody else's field, right? So you throw with Maxwell's this field, and I get it, but shall ask me like all again, how much more so a field that belonged to me and I was Maxwell's that I should get back in yovel? No, chamablaim, vahoyah started, but say about yovel, kodesh lashem to sdeachayim. To tell us not, the posit tells us that it should be kodesh like a sdeachayim. So that, one second. What are we learning from Sdei Acherim? What is there about Sdei Acherim that we're learning from it to Sdei Acherim? So this is Hareza Bolam Lamed Benim to Lomed. It means that you look at the Pasuk, you look at the Pshat of the Pasuk, and you think, the Torah is telling you there's a din that you know applies to a Sdei Acherim. You should know now that that also applies to Sdei Acherim. Really, it's the other way around. The Torah is telling us there's a din that applies to Sdei Acherim. You should know it also applies to Sdei Acherim. So Bola Lamed, it looks like the Sdei Acherim is coming to teach us a new din, but Nimta Lamed, actually what it is the Sdei Acherim, we're learning to it a new din that we wouldn't have otherwise known about Sdei Acherim, we're learning from Sdei Acherim. Namely, is a field that he just threw all declared Acherim and went to the Kohen. Sdei Acherim is where it was Makdash it, and it went to Akdash, and eventually it goes to the Kohen. So makish zdei cherem of the zdei achuzah shor yisrael. It means the Torah is making a hekish between a zdei acherem that a kohen owns and a zdei achuzah that a yisrael owns. Mas zdei achuzah shor yisrael, just like a zdei achuzah of a yisrael, if he was makish it and he didn't buy it back before yovel, yotz mitachas yado, it's taken away from him, almost collected for kohenim, it's divided up among the kohenim. Af zdei acherem, the same thing. If a kohen was makdish, a zdei acherem, same thing. Yotz mitachas yado, almost collected for echam kohenim, it's taken away from him and divided up among all the kohenim of the mishmar that's on duty when yovel comes. Again, if this kohen happens to be a member of that mishmar, good. Then he's getting a portion of it. So he's getting a portion of it, but not necessarily the whole thing. Okay. So Omar Mar, so let's look at that right. So we said Bishalachirim and Izoicha, we're saying that the Kohen would think to make a Kavachomer that would allow him to keep this field, because he's saying, Madoch, I'm able to get somebody else's field after Yovel, surely I should be able to keep my own field. What do you mean? Me, Dami, how do you compare the cases? Hosam Zoicha Baalma, Hosam Zoicha Baalma, over there, it's Hosam Zoicha, over there he's Zoicha in the entire field, Here he's getting only one portion of it. So what are you telling me that he thinks that he should be able to keep the whole thing? What makes him think he should be able to keep the whole thing? He should only be able to keep. However, Rami Bar Chama says, yes, but there's still a chiddush in it. Because like this, you would think like this. The pasuk says like this, any person's kodshim can be his. What does that mean? There's a couple of different meanings of that topic, but one meaning of it is, the Gemara explains in Bava Kama, that we know that there are 24 mishmaros of Kohenim. But let's say a Kohen himself has a Korban to bring, for whatever reason. Could be a voluntary Korban, could be a required Korban, whatever it is. So you have, let's say, the mishmar of Yehoyariv, let's say the first mishmar is on duty. Along comes a Kohen from, let's say the 20th mishmar, Yechezdol, and he has a Korban to bring. So you would think maybe he has to give it to the Kohenim of that Mishmar. So no, the Ishas Kodshav Lo Yiyu means that he himself has the right to go into the Beis Mikdash, even though it's not his turn, and bring his own Korban and get whatever portions of it go to the Kohenim that he can do with them what he wants with them. If it's the Chaz of a Shoik, for example, with the Shlomim, he gets it. If it's an Ola, then the skin of it goes to him, etc., etc. So you would think the same. Ha nami ki kodosh of Damya. You would think the same thing is true over here. You should consider it like his kodshim. Therefore, he should be entitled to it. No. Okay, still the Gemara says, me dummy. How do you compare it? Kodosh of lav birshusai. His kodshim are not in his rishus. He is. They don't essentially belong to him. They belong. He's not getting them because of his own koyach. He's the one who gets to be makriv their emurim on the mizbeach, and therefore he gets the portions of the korban that go to him. Hocha birshusai. Over here, it all comes from his own koyach, because after all, it's a sdei acherim. It's not like it's not in the case of korbanos. The rule is we say koinim mishochan gavoya kazochu. The koinim are getting from the table of Hashem. In other words, essentially it belongs to the mizbeach, and Hashem grants a portion of it to the koinim.
Even when they bring their own?
Yeah, but over here it's not like that. Over here, hocha birshus, over here it's in his rishus. Why indeed can't we say that if it was his own zbeach erim, that he should be able to keep it afterwards? Elo, Amar Rav Nachman Istrich. So no, Rav Nachman says, okay, but there's a different reason why we need the Pasuk and the Braisa. Sakhriyat HaMini, you would think like this. Holoch Tiv Piyachuzas Olam Hulahem. Since the Pasuk mentions about the cities of Levim, as we said in our Mishnah, that it's an eternal inheritance for them, you would argue, Ha Nam Yachuzasahi. You would argue the Sdei Acherem is considered his Achuzah as well. Therefore, it should have the same rule. Just like we said, that if a Levi is makdish a house or a field, he's able to get it back from Hekdish after Yerubal. Well, it doesn't go to the Kohenim. You would think the same thing with the Sdei Acherim. Kamash Malon, Achuz Dostoy. Therefore, the Pasuk uses the expression Achuz Dostoy, meaning Achuz Dostoy Ein, only if it's his ancestral inheritance, Cher Moiloi, but not if it's his Cherim. Yes, a Cherim is to a certain extent considered like an Achuzah, but it's not like Achuz Dostoy. It's not something that he inherited from his ancestors, therefore it has different meaning.
The Cherim came from somebody else,
made the field Cherim.
And it goes to,
so it depends. We said there was Cherim Gavoya and Cherim Koinim. Here we're talking about Cherim Koinim. He said it's Cherim Koinim, so therefore it goes to the Koinim. It didn't pass through Hekdesh at all. So that's the point. Now, the Pasuk tells us that it's considered in a certain sense like the Kohen's Achuzah, in the sense that he keeps it forever, but not in the sense that if the Kohen turns around and mastish it, he should be able to get it back, and that he should be able to buy it back from Hekdesh after the fact, rather than having it lost by Yovel, that not. There we still say, for that purpose, the Sdei Achuzah is treated, the Sdei Cherem is treated like anybody else's Sdei Achuzah. That's the point of the comparison. That's the point of the comparison. A Sdei Achuzah that Yisrael is mastish, if he doesn't buy it back from Hekdesh before Yovel is gone, it goes to the Kohenim. The same way, a Sdei Acherim, that a Kohen is Makdish, if he doesn't buy it back before Yovel, it's gone and it goes to the other Kohenim. That's the point of the comparison. That's the point of the Hekdesh.
So basically, you could have a Sdei Acherim, and either choose to give it to Cherem or to Makdish.
That's generally true of a Yisrael, right? We learned before that Kohen or a Levi doesn't have that option. We learned before, Kohen or a Levi is not able to be Makdish. To the previous parent. Yeah.
So what would be the Sdei Acherim then?
Sdei Acherim means one that he got as a Sdei Acherim from Yisrael. That Yisrael made a field Acherim, a Kohenim, and this Kohen got it. Right. So now we're saying, if this Kohen now turns around and is Makdish that field, then we're saying that it's treated like any other Sdei Achuzah, it goes to Hekdesh, and if he doesn't buy it back from Hekdesh before Yovel, then it goes to the other Kohen. That's what we're saying. Yeah.
Okay.
And then the comparison against a carbon, it's different because a carbon is...
Because a carbon is Meshulchan Gavoya. He's getting it from the table of Hashem, yeah.
Here,
where did we know that
the Kohen
cannot...
Can you help me, Machrim? We learned on that Chofetz. We had a mission over there. We had Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon arguing with Chofetz Amar Aleph. We had that Rabbi Yehuda says Kohenim and Levim can't be Machrim. Rabbi Shimon distinguished between Karka and Metalflin. So yeah, we said over there, Kohen and Levim can't be Machrim. I mentioned when we learned about this, the Mishnah said that Kohen and Levim ain't Machrim in Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon and Kohenim ain't Machrim in Etzara, yeah. Right there in the Mishnah. I mentioned at the time what the Sefer Achinuch says about it. There is, by the way, there's a Sicha in Chelet Chof Zayin on Parshas B'Chukosai, which is also a Siyum on Masechta Erechin, which is now just finished, where the Rebbe mentions this line, this point from the Chinuch, that the idea behind Cherem is, the word Cherem basically means destruction. That's the fundamental meaning of the word Cherem is destruction. So you could have a Yisrael in frustration or whatever says about some property of his, it should be cherem. Like you'd say nowadays, you know, it should go to the devil or the heck with it or whatever, you know. And then, but because the yid is under the protection of Hashem, who is the source of bracha, we don't want to make that it should be cursed, like the meaning of cherem or whatever, cursed, damned, destroyed or whatever. Instead, fine, you don't want it. Then Hashem says, okay, you can give it to me and I'll decide what we do with it. You give it to the hekdesh or to the kohenim, as the case may be. But then the chiduch says, the Kohenim and Levim themselves are even closer to Hashem. They're like Bnei Bayis of Hashem. They're like members of Hashem's household. So therefore, with them, there's not even a possibility of saying it should be Cherem and have that take effect. But they're closer to Hashem, and that's why Kohenim and Levim cannot be Machlim, he says, yes. So
we're not close.
So then, no, we're also close to Hashem. We're close, but they're closer. They're within being closer. Within being closer to Hashem, there's different levels of being close. Okay. Hadron alach ha-mokel tadeo, or slick along the sechta
ayatim.
Where's
the
kiddush?
Was
the
mashkan?
You
didn't bring it?
I didn't
bring it?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Rather bring it?
The Ezra Hashem will make the Siyum during the 9 days. Close enough now to the 9 days. You're anyway supposed to make the Siyum during the 9 days, during the 15 days to be exact. Okay, so we don't have to drink wine. But during the 15 days, actually, because we never said you should be making the Siyum until Tshuva Av, so we'll have plenty of time.
So we'll do Erechim
and we'll make Siyum and Mamam during that time. Right? It's 9:42.